This is Ned's NRL Unpopular Opinions with Gerald Yao Yi, Oscar Panifex, Liam Fogarty, and Ryan Cook.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Ned's NRL Unpopular Opinions. I am your host, Ryan Cook. Boys, we're down a man again this week. Foggs has taken off for another holiday. Good on him.
Trim the fat.
Who cares? Yeah.
He's earned it.
That guy's he's ruthless.
He's dead to us.
What is he doing?
I don't know.
He just picks and chooses when he wants to be on this podcast. Yeah. Anyway,
part-time Pete, we'll start
loser.
Going. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Alas, I'm joined by Brisbane Broncos legend, the man that shines brighter than the Northern Lights. It's Gerald Yao Yi.
The Northern Lights are in Canada too.
Yeah,
where my wife is from. Some would say that she's a Northern Light.
Oh.
Well played, mate.
Yeah. Now she's going to have to listen to this episode
points
for the
before
first.
Magic Round.
Yeah, I'm going to be in a bit of Barney Rubble over the weekend. Coming for you, Magic Round.
And the sharpest analyst in the game, the man with the iron stomach, Oscar Panifex.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, I've been weak lately, haven't
you
I?
Have. You were flat last week.
I had the shakes, had the sweats, but I persevered. I feel better today, ready to talk. Bit of women's origin and all the NRL goss.
We have a lot of goss.
Yes.
For the first time in this show's history, we're on the right side of the news cycle because this David Fifita backflip has dropped just about an hour ago. We've got a lot to talk about in terms of Magic Round, but let's get straight into the Fifita news.
Yep.
One of the great backflips, I have to say. And it's nice to see a team like the Titans on the right side for a change.
Yeah, get one back because, look, I think it's great for them.
Mm.
And for Dave to have made that decision, you know, why did he make that decision? What do you reckon? He just wanted to see where his market, where he was, his value.
I think, staying in a smaller market. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you reckon that's where it is? Or what are your thought process?
You would have a better idea on what players do in these kind of contract situations. I wouldn't have a clue what he's thinking. If I had to guess right now with the information we've got available to us, I know that his partner, Shaylee Bent, plays in the NRLW.
Yep.
And there was talks that the Roosters had done a little double deal for them down there. So whether or not maybe that's fallen through or Shaylee's found a contract elsewhere, potentially up with the Titans still, whether that was a deciding factor.
Yeah.
Or then the other flip side is the Roosters are looking at it and going, we can keep Angus Crichton, who we've already got here, on X amount, or we can splash the cash to bring Fifi down and really unrest.
Why would they even entertain it, though? Do you know what I mean? I think it's purely Dave. I don't know. I think it's got anything to do with the Roosters. Unfortunately, even though by the looks of their statement, it sounds like a sour breakup.
I do actually want to read a bit of the statement because it's absolutely hilarious. So I'll start from the second paragraph. Despite his management making the initial approach to the club and Fifita personally informing the Sydney Roosters chairman and head coach of his intent to join the club last Thursday, Fifita has expressed doubt about his decision. Consequently, the club has elected to withdraw its offer and view that it is in the Roosters' best interest. The club wishes Fifita all the best.
I did notice that they got theirs out before they got the Gold Coast Titans got theirs out this morning as well.
Yep.
I checked the times on it and it looked like the Roosters jumped the gun a little bit.
Yeah, Angus Crichton and Satili Tupou, they met up early this morning and they wrote that one together.
Right, yeah. It's no wonder they didn't have good grades in English and literature because it sounds like they've written it. It doesn't it?
Are you buying that East withdrew the offer though?
No. David Fifita, for goodness sake.
Mm. Mate, they're like a kid who sees a new shot. Like anytime there's a marquee player available on the market.
Shiny.
The Chooks can't help themselves. Like they didn't need Brendan Smith.
Really, really
they
nice.
Didn't need Dom Young.
No.
Gimme.
Yeah.
David Fifita's available. We've got six reserve grade back rowers that should be playing NRL this week. We want it.
I also think that We've seen kids from Queensland go up and get chewed out and spat out down in Sydney. Okay. I mean, for instance, one I know very well who he can attest to this, but Jaden Nikarima, I just purely said to him, do not go to Sydney. Mm. Do not go to Sydney. What happens? He went to Sydney, got chewed up in it and spat out and, he spiraled out of control down there and it's been very well documented that he did that. And now look at him where he is. He's still a great footy player. Mm. But he would have been even better, I think, if he stayed at the Brisbane Broncos. Mm. And he would have been better to stay around his family, but didn't do that. Those decisions, he's happy that he lived with those now and he'll move on. But I think with Dave as well, it's a very similar situation. You can get chewed up and spat out in Sydney, especially if you're coming from the Gold Coast. where your family, where everyone is, you sort of got to think, is it going to be the best move for me? And we don't do it like, you know, the NFL or anything. Well, I think we spoke about this last time.
We did, yeah.
So I think for him being a young Indigenous kid, it's the best thing to do is stay with his family, stay home, and he'll get the best footy out of being with the Titans, I think, if he just stays. And look, we watched over the years Desi get the best out of people. So it's his first year as a coach. So I think he might have had something to do with it as well to try and convince him. But I'm happy, and I think if you're a Titans fan, you'd be happy to see David Fafita stay.
It's a win for the game, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. That's the other thing, because I'm sick of people going to the Roosters. I think everyone is.
And
it's a win for the little guys. Yeah, they needed one.
They are very small.
Like you said earlier, the Titans needed to be on this side of of a backflip situation as well. I think the most interesting thing now is going to be the fallout around both of those clubs. Guys like Egan Butcher, Satili Tupanua, Sua Wong, Terrell May, Nafua White, all these guys who are definitely good enough to be playing first grade every week. One of those or multiple of those was going to have to be pushed out. Which one of those stays, which one of them gets picked up?
Or is
Well, the other one is Big Tino.
Yeah,
like the Titans had all this money from Fafita there ready to make sure that Tino didn't go back to Melbourne or, you know, wherever he might have attracted some attention. Now, you know, ideally, and hopefully history suggests that those two boys want to stay together, Fifi and Tino. But, yeah, that'll be another interesting watch
also,
as well.
Also, on the other flip side of stuff for the Roosters, how betrayed do you feel?
As Gus?
As well, not even just him, but all those other players that are involved.
Good point.
That they were going to spill all this money. Do you get the shits now and go, all right, well, if you want to play that game, I'm not going to hang around.
So
I'm
you're saying there's fractures in the Roosters?
You heard it here first, punters.
No, I'm not saying there is, but we're going to see it over the weekend. Yeah. They play the Sharks, who were playing in first position. So, yeah, I mean, if there is fractures, those things come out in the field, man. I don't care what anyone says. When there's tension outside the locker room, it pours onto the field. And there's only a small amount of people that can be professionals and go on and move on with it. But I think there's something that's happening there. You can't just want a guy from the Gold Coast who's not playing outstanding footy and try and bring him in and try and push other people out. There's going to be a domino effect on it.
It's got to burn the bridge for the Roosters too now. Fafita can never sign there, surely.
Yeah, no, I think that's...
He's going to sign more contracts in his career.
The other thing we need to talk about is he turned down Penrith as well, which is huge. I mean, I don't... Look, there's people saying that they're slowing down, but... They just keep performing.
They're not slowing down.
So if they had got a coupe like David Fafita with the likes of Nathan Cleary at the helm, like, bloody hell. They're well and truly back into 4, 5, making it 6. Do you know what I mean? So there's obviously reasons, and I'm sure that'll come out in the next couple of weeks of why. But he's been on a media ban for for 6 months or something.
Fafita.
Yeah. So we haven't really heard from him at all. Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see what Dave says about this and how his management, unfold about this. But great to see him stay at the Titans.
Smart financial decision for him too, considering how expensive houses are in Sydney. Moving on, boys, we've got to rewind a little bit to what happened in round 10. Lots of injuries to get into, particularly Nathan Cleary and Turbo going down. Chaos for New South Wales, particularly in the halves.
Hamstrings.
Yes, hamstrings.
What the heck?
We'll get into a bit of a general injury chat in a second, but Mitchell Moses isn't fit. Luai needs Cleary to play well. Cody Walker's out of form. What are we going to do here for New South Wales in the halves? What's the answer?
I don't care. To be honest.
Mainly a question for Oscar.
I'm just going to say this. As a Queenslander, don't give him anything, though.
Yeah.
Because it's a story, right? It's a motivation for New South Wales that they, you know, no, everyone likes to be the underdog. That's the pure facts of it. So... Give them nothing. I don't care.
I mean, even in these last 4 series, Queensland won, 3 of the last 4?
Yep.
Pretty sure New South Wales were favourites in all of them.
They were.
Before the series started. Yep. So, yeah, and we've seen the market adjust significantly since Cleary and Turbo have been ruled out as well. I mean, the obvious candidates are Nico and Matt Burton.
Yep.
Pending Mitch Moses' return from injury, does he put himself in the frame with a late audition? If he was fit, he'd be. I liked Moses for 6 originally at the start of the year. So if he's fit, I think he goes.
What has Nico got to do though?
Look, for me, I've spoken about this on the podcast before. Yeah. Nico, the spaces around Nico continue to be a target in clubland. Yep. That's not to say he's a poor defender, but it is an area that attacking teams like to target. Whether that's got more to do with Jesse Ramian or Britton Nicro around him, you know, that's open for discussion.
Mm.
But I think the example that we saw, Hines was absolutely unfairly criticised for that 6-minute cameo he had in the centres, two years ago?
Mm-hmm.
But in the same breath, his defensive positioning in that instance, and he's spoken about it, he adjusted to defending more like a half, but he did get caught out in that instance.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of areas where he's been found out in clubland. I think he's always a net positive in terms of what he does in 80 minutes. Like for the times that he's spotted up in D, he's contributing in attack.
Can't carry him at 14. He's either got to play or he's not.
I'm with you 100%.
Yeah, you can't put him on 14 because we can't. He's got his best game is when he plays 80.
And when he plays on the ball, 60 touches.
Definitely. Yeah. So, a bit of dramas for New South Wales. I'm sure that whoever puts on those jerseys, though, they'll do a job. Mm. You never see blowouts. You know, you rarely see blowouts in Origins. So it doesn't matter. It's still going to be very close. The odds will be $1.80 to $2. It's not going to be a blowout. It's State of Origin, for goodness sake. So New South Wales will come to play.
Well, remember the last time there was a decimated Origin team rolled out.
Very good point.
Uncle Wayne.
The worst team in the history you're talking about.
In the history. So, yeah, I don't think we're quite in those areas yet. But in terms of Michael Maguire's introduction into the Origin arena, like...
It's interesting.
I'm so excited for him. Like, I'm obviously a Madge guy from my Rabbitohs background. Days, but, he's hard to deny. What he's done in the Kiwi camp over the last 4 or 5 years has been really impressive. He seems to demand respect from his players, and he seems like the kind of bloke who's going to go, I don't give a shit if Cleary and Turbo are out. Let's get it done.
And the other thing is he's been at the West Tigers for a long period of time. He's been under pressure. Mm. He knows what pressure is.
Yep.
He'll have no problem going into these games. It'll actually be a breath of fresh air for him. So, yeah. Origin. I don't think there's going to be any problems with whoever gets picked in those both sides will do a job.
Mm. In other injury news, Sean Johnson's gone down for the Waz.
Mm.
Broncos copped a few more hits yesterday. Billy Walters, Tristan Saylor's also out.
Yep.
No one knows for sure why these injuries have started to increase this year. There's been a few theories thrown out that it's because of the wet tracks, the wet grounds.
Yep.
Also, maybe the preseason's too long. Up for debate. Jarrell is an ex-player. Mm. Do you have any thoughts on this?
Oh, I think preseasons are always way too long.
Yep.
And that's just coming from a player. If you ask any of them, they'll say the same thing. We get paid big money, I get it. But if you want us to play for a big part of the season and play at a high level, I think that's preseasons have to be shorter.
Are they getting longer? Do you think the preseason now is longer than when it was when you were playing?
I think it's the same. I think it's just more intense because...
Okay, so it's more intense.
Yeah, I think it's more intense because you can't take shortcuts the old days because they've got GPSs on you. So they're making you work to your potential. Mm. But not everyone's body is the same also. We've got to understand that. There's people's bodies who break down others and others than other boys, and that's genes. That's not anything else but those. So, yeah, I think preseasons have to be a little bit shorter. It is a little bit more time for players to do damage in the off season, but it's an intense 27 weeks, man. Yeah.
Mm.
And especially if you're playing every game, if you're a superstar and you're playing, you know, all representative games, including Australian games, World Cups and everything like that, they're huge. And a lot of those players that do, they don't go back to training, but it's football. You're still playing football for a long period of time. So I think the best recovery is to give the players their regimes and what they need to do away from the game and let them go rest.
Bit more of a break between seasons.
I actually don't think people need to be back before December,
Christmas.
For Christmas. I actually don't think they need to. It's because I know we get games in late February now. That's still 7 to 8 weeks before they play footy.
Mm.
If you're not, this is where I put it back on the trainers and the physios. If you can't get professional athletes ready in 2 months, then I think you've got an issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just speaking from a player's point of view. I think having I know the older players will appreciate this a lot, but having more breaks is, but I understand that on the NRL part, they're getting paid big money as well. So they're not working for those, times. Maybe don't make them work. Maybe don't make let them go on holidays for that long. Maybe they do those promos in some of those months that they're supposed to do. So
yeah, that's a good idea.
I just think that keep them working at times, but you know, having intense training and doing all that, yeah, I just think it's probably a little bit too long. Give them a shorter preseason.
There's a worrying stat I read yesterday that last year there was an average of 23 hamstring injuries across the entire season.
20 now.
Yeah, now we've had 20 already.
And it's not even halfway through.
Yeah.
I think we had the Pacific Championships over the off season as well, which people might have forgotten about. There tends to be a lot of chat around increased injuries and fatigue after an off-season representative period. So, yeah, like you said, 30 weeks of the regular season into finals last year for some of those Penrith boys, for example, and then Cleary went on and played for the Kangaroos and that Pacific Champs. So is that a result of the loading?
Well, he's probably a perfect example, right? Yeah. He's young.
Yeah.
So We've got to look after our superstars. Mm-hmm. If we're not looking after someone like Nathan Cleary, who are we going to look after? Mm. If he's not on the field for 7 weeks now, you know, does that bums on seats for Penrith people down in Penrith? I think it is. That, you know, there's some kids that go, oh, I might not want to go watch because Nathan's not playing. Mm. I just think that we have to protect our players at all costs because they are the game.
The game is missing out on some serious talent. There's no doubt about that right now. Speaking of missing out, though, the Dragons won't be playing Magic Round this week.
The Dargons.
You beat me to it. I think this is a very strange decision from the league, given how strong the Saints supporter base is and the fact that they travel so well.
Yeah.
Newcastle missed out last year. The theory is it's because of lack of fan engagement before the Dolphins came into the competition and during Magic Round. What's the thoughts here, boys? I think we may have spoken about this.
Last place. It's whoever comes wooden spooners.
Yep.
That's just the way it should be.
Mm.
And it sucks. But if you come last, you don't get the big shiny weekend.
Yeah.
That's what I think. And it might not be a big incentive for a lot of players, but when it comes around, you go, oh shit, we're not playing in that. Mm. That's like those boys. Like, you know, obviously for Dozer, for instance, like I spoke to him and he's like, well, you know, it's a lot to take in because it takes a lot out of your Magic Round.
That's what I was about to ask you.
So he's just like, you know, he's not too bothered.
He's not miffed about it.
Yeah, obviously he wants to go because of his fan base.
Yeah.
But for him, it's like, it's a huge weekend.
It's just another bye week, basically.
Yeah.
Well, it's a cheap 2 points for them, right?
Yeah, correct.
That's what I was going to ask you is we've seen some of the Vegas teams from this year pretty much rule themselves out from going over there next year.
Mm-hmm.
Like you talk about, it's a big game. Players get up for big games. They want to be a part of these moments. At the same time, are clubs looking at events like Vegas and like Magic Round and going, the emotional toll and the effort required to feature at this event, is it just not worth it?
I don't even think it's just about the players.
Like, is Shane Flanagan sitting there going, easy 2 points this week?
Maybe. But I don't know.
What I mean? And they don't have to travel up to Brisbane. True. They don't have to muck around with all the festivities.
They get a longer turnaround.
They get a couple of quiet days of training.
And that's what I'm talking about. Like, it's not just the players. It's staff. Like, it's the staff. It's all the people that are being involved. Magic Round is huge. Yeah. It's massive. Like, I don't even remember much of last year. That's how big it was.
Because you were working so hard.
I was working so hard. I blacked out several times. Honestly, but that's like, I don't think they'd be too bothered about it because it is such a big, it takes a lot of energy.
So as a player, you wouldn't be like, we're letting the supporters down.
Maybe if you're a younger player. Yeah. Like, I think if you're a younger,
you want to score a try
in front of the crowd.
Yeah.
Of course you do. But for someone like a bit older, like Dozer, maybe he's just like, oh, I get to do that in 3 weeks anyway.
Have a sleep in.
Exactly. Like, and when you've got kids, like, so it's on both spectrums, for I suppose, with certain players. But I don't think they'll be too bothered. They've already copped a lot of criticism over the preseason and where they're at. I think they're sitting in a really good position. The Dargs.
You called it at the start.
Like, honestly, they're sitting in a really good position. They've played some really okay teams. So they get a cheap 2 points on the weekend. They go on another week with no injuries. Yeah, I'm not too sure that they'll be too fast. Mm. Yeah.
All right, boys, good chat as always. We'll get stuck into some betting with the offload.
All the betting trends from around the comp. This is the offload.
Fogs is off this week, but fortunately Oscar is still here to offer some insight into the betting ahead of Magic Round. I'm reluctant to say this, but Foggs had a pretty good week in open groups over the weekend. Just gone, and so did you.
No, look, I was okay. Foggs, we got to give him his flowers. He carved up. I think he had 3 or 4 or 5 same game multis across 8 games.
He did very well.
So, yeah, shout out to Foggs. Sucked in. He's not here to toot his own
horn. What a loser, man.
We'll give him a shout out.
I'm sure he'll be up and about for it next week. Don't you worry. We'll hear all about it. Oscar, you're back on the Neds blog this week.
Yes.
Women's Origin on Thursday night.
Can't wait.
Give us what you've got.
Yeah, fizzing for this one. Obviously, the NRLW season's still, I think, 7 or 8 weeks away.
Seven.
But we get game one of, for the first time ever, the women's have a 3-game Origin series, which is just unreal.
Yeah.
They get the standalone one this week.
They kick off Magic Round.
Yeah.
It's incredible for them. Yeah.
Sounds like there'll be a good crowd there too.
Yeah.
I think Foggs is going. So.
Yeah.
There's so many people coming from far and wide that I've spoke to that are not just coming just for Friday night game. They're all going to the game on Thursday.
Which is perfect. Yeah. So they get a couple of standalone games. Then I think game three of this series will be the curtain raiser for game two of Origin or something. Anyway, really exciting. For those of you who haven't followed along the NRLW, I've just picked out a couple of names from each state who you might be familiar with or keep an eye on.
I should say here too, if you haven't followed Oscar, when it comes to NRLW, you're doing something wrong.
Cleaning up last year.
We got to fill up last year, so hopefully we'll do the same again in open groups in a few months' time. But yeah, for game one on Thursday night, Tamika Upton is the fullback for the Queensland Maroons. She is, without a doubt, the best female rugby league player in the world. Everywhere on the field, she's dangerous. She's on kick returns. She sneaks down short side. She's a genuine ball player. She can run. She can kick. She's everywhere. She's been the difference in Newcastle's back-to-back premierships, and she was the difference in Queensland's win last year. So yeah, if you want a try scorer and you're a Maroon supporter, get on Tamika Upton. She gets a lot of opportunities to attack thanks to the work of these three girls in the middle. Jessica Elliston and Shannon Marto are the Gold Coast Titans NRLW front rowers. They're the best prop pairing in the game. They're going to win a lot of ruck speed and generate some second phase play for Tamika to attack on. And then Ali Brigginshaw, who's one of the most decorated players in the women's game. At the ripe old age of 34 and
wonder how much longer she's going to go.
Mate, she's an animal. Yeah. She's not even playing. She's been pushed out of her preferred position. She plays lock for the Maroons now. But she's made a career out of being the best ball player on the field. She'll just play a first receiver. Tip, she counts numbers so well.
Yep.
She mightn't be the one throwing the assist pass, but she'll be the one setting it up on the inside for the Maroons.
Isn't it amazing? Like, isn't it how cool how... I know I'm not trying to patronise like the girls, but far out it's cool to see how far like it's of come, how fast it's grown in the last couple of years, you know. And then the fact that we're getting the full Origin series out of it, it's very, very awesome.
It's got to be the fastest growing.
Oh, man, it has to. Look, I did hear 2 years ago that the girls' participation had grown like
skyrocketed,
like 117% or something, which is insane. I don't even know if that's possible, but...
Mate, I see Julia Robinson, who's the winger for the Broncos in the NRLW and for the Maroons. She lives around my area. I bump into her sometimes in the shops, and I get all giddy. And you know, like, oh, it's Julia!
Well, they produce good wingers out there at Ferngrove.
So I've heard. And then for the Sky Blues, another few names to keep an eye on: Jamie Chapman, who played centre for the Titans last year. On the night that Ezra scored a hat-trick in a losing grand final side, Jamie did the exact same thing that afternoon for the Titans in the NRLW grand final. She's a beast. I think she's playing right wing, which is going to be interesting to look out for. Caitlin Johnson is in the front row for the Blues. I mentioned Jessica Elliston and Shannon Marto, but Caitlin Johnson she's my favourite player in the game. She reminds me of she's got a bit of Jared Warrior Hargraves about her. Just
bit
big,
of fire in there.
Just angry, big, scary, very skillful as well. Keep an eye for her. And then New South Wales have named 2 genuine dummy halves at 9 and 13, Olivia Higgins and Killy Davis. Both very creative, kind of deceptive dummy halves, good running game, genuine ball players. I think they'll help New South Wales play nice and direct through the middle of the field.
Very valuable insight there, Oscar. Before we get into your try scorers, it is Magic Round, so I've done a bit of a deep dive into some Suncorp Stadium stats.
Ooh, nice.
The punters probably want to take note of. I'll go quick fire here. So we got Bulldogs Raiders on Friday night. Two sides with losing records at the ground. Raiders are 4-9. The Dogs are 1-12.
Holy moly.
Yes. Raiders did go 3-1 off the bye last year though. So keep that one in mind. Mm. This is a bit of a spoiler to our multi, but yep. Josh Adokar is money at Suncorp just about every time he plays there. So,
it's great to hear.
Good. Yeah.
Saturday afternoon, we got the Titans and the Knights. Titans are 10-10 overall at the ground, but they have covered in 13 of those games. Mm-hmm. Knights are 4-6. They've also gone 7-3 at the line. Good value in the market. I'll ask you boys. Knights $1.65, Titans $2.25. Yeah. Who do we like?
I mean, after they almost dropped the ball last week, I mean, that's good value for the Titans. I think if they get into a game and they can not go down to one off the bench, I think they'll be okay. And honestly, they play well at Suncorp. Like every time they play the Broncos at Suncorp Stadium, they bring it. It's never an easy game.
There was a good period there, wasn't it, where every game at Suncorp between
even last Titans they beat us last year there. Yeah. They beat us on a Sunday game at Suncorp Stadium when the boys were running hot. So they know how to play at Suncorp Stadium.
Cheeky little upset. Mm. I think you need to keep an eye on the team lists for that game. The Titans have got, I think AJ's been ruled out, Foran's touch and go, Sami's out. So I think their halves pairing at the moment Sam Verrills and Chris Randall.
And even their other winger, did he do his shoulder or was that no?
Sami's out for 6 to 8 weeks and then Camperera's back in.
But the other kid, didn't he do his shoulder?
Jojo Fifita.
He's done something, yeah.
So they're missing a few, and the Knights have also got Gamble, Frizzell, Lucas. So there's a few guys there that are touch and go. So, yeah, wait until team lists are confirmed before you load up on that one, I reckon.
And maybe the Ponga news might be a distraction for the Knights as well. We won't get into that, though. Sunday afternoon, we got Storm and Parramatta Eel, as you like to call them, Oscar.
Parramatta Eel.
Outside of the Bronx, the Storm are the most successful team at Suncorp, 20-6 overall, 17-9 at the line. Wow. Eels have gone just 6-7 overall there.
Yep.
Storm on the back of a loss, 7-0 over the last 12 months.
They don't go back-to-back, mate.
Get on.
They don't lose back-to-back games. Yeah.
Storm the cover, surely?
Yeah.
What was the line?
I think it's 13.5.
Yeah, look, Blaise Talangi, if you're an Eels fan, there's a lot of positives there in young Blaise Talangi. But, yeah, tell you what. Melbourne were poor last week. I think they'll respond.
Mm. They definitely will respond. And especially after, I think, probably the most controversial call of the year.
Yes, good
that point. Was done on Harry Grant. that lost in the game because they score on that set.
Mm.
So, yeah, Melbourne don't. Very rarely do they go back-to-back losses.
Mm. Any try scorers for us this week, Oscar?
Yeah, touched on a few of them. You have already there, Ryan. I really like Viliami Kikau to score this weekend for the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs. He's only got one try from 9 games this year, which is a pretty humble record for a man like Viliami. The Dogs are using him as the catalyst for scoring actions, so they're throwing to him to either get an offload or a quick play the ball. The defense folds in towards Kikau, and then the Dogs are shifting it to the right edge to score their points. I think this week, Kikau can be the tip of the spear. The Raiders' right edge has some pretty new or unproven combinations there between KO Weeks, Matt Timocor, and Elliot Whitehead. I think if Birdo can give kicks enough one-on-one opportunities, I think at $4.10, he's great value to score. I'm looking at similar area on the field for the Roosters up against the Sharks. Nico Hines is back. We saw the Roosters attack at their best last week. They put on a beautiful shot down the left edge where Joey Manu swept over from right centre to become like a second fullback and he passed Suali'i through the line. Those kind of really flat, fast and direct actions, I think that's the Roosters' attack at their best and it'll target the spaces around Hines. So I really like Suali'i to score at about 370. And then my bet of the round, which I'll mention again later, but Herbie Farnworth at $2.30, I think is very good value for the Dolphins to benefit from what Isaiah Katoa is doing at halfback for Redcliffe.
A few profitable names there. You can find all of Oscar's best bets in Ned's open groups. Mm-hmm. Hopefully plenty of more green ticks this week as well. We're going to come back with a special edition of Storytime with JYY. Well, last week, Jarrell proved to the world that he's a lover, not a fighter, when he tried to break up a wild brawl at a local footy game.
It gives me PTSD. Honestly does.
This week, there's no story, but in light of the Fifita news, you're going to detail some of the great backflips.
Yeah, well, I thought, well, I mean, I knew from my time watching, being around NRL and, you know, seeing the likes of people do backflips, I thought, well, why don't I just do the best backflips in the NRL that have been? And we all know the one surrounding, to start off with, surrounding the Titans, and my long-necked friend, Daly Cherry Evans, who backflipped on a $10 million lifetime deal to go to the Titans.
I think the length of his neck helped him actually see above the backflip as well. Yeah,
like, yeah. Defies gravity.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, just, you know, when some people go, your heads are in the clouds. Well, his were above at that time. So we were lucky there. This one's going back a while. The Canterbury Four. Remember, I don't know if you remember this, but during the Super League War, Canterbury's Jarrod McCracken, Dean Pay, Jim Dimmick, and Jason Smith all reneged on their deals to sign with the ARL. So pretty big, pretty big, because the Super League War was huge right at the time. Yep. So many people were just going there, and the stories I heard about the Super League War was, you were walking in the rooms,
yes,
and you were just saying what you want. I've actually got a good one that I probably should tell next week about that, about Alf. It's pretty funny on story time. So hold that one. Remind me, please, because it's a really good story. Wayne Bennett, I'm not sure if anyone remembers this one, but 2006, he was supposed to go to the Roosters.
Yep.
And because he was having a huge fallout with the Broncos board, the board members there. So got everything really nice and dandy and stayed, and they ended up winning a grand final.
Is that the one that he didn't go down there because the Roosters announced it before he did,
yes,
or something?
Yes, correct.
Issues with that?
Correct. Yeah. Tim Moulton, it's one of the messiest contract sagas. He was in a tug of war between like him and the Dragons, the Tigers and the Dragons. He reportedly joined the Red V, although had not been released by the Tigers. So
that's some Ronnie Volkman area, isn't it?
How does that happen?
Some of your best work, Tim Moulton. James Tedesco. The Raiders were on the other end of the backflip.
The Raiders.
When Tedesco had a 3-year deal for $650,000.
Wow.
And Campbell was struggling to, like, they were struggling to attract any talent.
Yep.
And James Tedesco was going to be the guy. Well, it fell through. He stayed and ended up staying at Leichhardt.
What a sliding doors.
Crazy, right? Imagine that. Imagine if we had seen that. My favourite one, because I was sort of around this, was GI. I don't know if anyone remembers the GI one.
Oh, yeah.
The GI one, I went to the Normandy with GI when pretty much the deal had been done with the Broncos, and we were celebrating a lot.
With him?
With him and Justin Hodges. Because you could imagine with three Indigenous boys, one was going to be in one centre, I was going to be on one wing. I was thinking, this is the best thing ever.
Yeah, the best job in the league.
They ended up didn't buy him a boat, so he did a backflip and went back to Melbourne, and they bought him a boat. I don't know how that's went, but we do know about the boat, so you can't get away with that one, GI. But that's my backflips in the NRL. A couple of that we forgot about, but well done, Dave, staying at the Titans.
Well, shout out Nathan Friend for getting backflipped by Kenny Bromwich, who was playing for the Warriors as well. Inverted, different type of backflip.
Inverted backflip as well. Who did one in the Indigenous All-Stars?
Surely Walsh or Stag. It was one of those.
Oh, Walsh has done one before.
Yep.
No, the winger for – he crazy.
he crazy.
The winger for the Indigenous All-Stars. Oh, my gosh, he's going to kill me for forgetting his name. I'm mental blanking as well.
What club's he from?
He from the Raiders, and he went to the Sharks.
Oh, yeah, Savage.
No.
I don't know if I've seen
Roosters. He was late at the Roosters as well. He got in trouble for drinking with Dugan.
Fergie Ferg.
I'm so sorry, Fergie Ferg. You're going to see this clip and you're going to want to kill me. Love you, Fergie Ferg.
Shout out, Cruisers.
Yeah.
That was better than Fogg's Fast Five, I think.
Yeah. Maybe I should do it every week.
Yeah.
Guy, man.
All right, we come back. We'll get into this bloody multi.
Surely they get one up this week. It's the NRL podcast multi.
Boys, second week we've failed to hit a single leg on the multi. I wouldn't blame the punters if they aren't following us at all moving forward.
It's honestly,
punters, stick with us.
Yeah, yeah. There's one coming, and if there's going to be any magic, it's this weekend.
Hopefully.
Oh, well said.
Play on words there. You like that?
We did do well last year, I think, on Magic Round.
We did, I think actually we got one. I think this is the one we got. Yeah. Yeah, I think it is.
Balance?
Because I got
one of us had Tafate.
I remember because I got banned.
Yeah. Is that how long it's been since the multi's gone up?
Yeah.
A year-long drought.
Hey, but there's been green ticks in the open groups, just not the multi.
Okay. Well, I'm not even going to recap the legs from last week because it's depressing.
Yeah.
The record, Oscar 5-6, JYY 3-8.
Oh,
I'm 7-4, and Foggs is also 3-8.
Yeah.
This week, Foggs isn't joining us because he's a busy boy, so we're just going to do a three-legger.
That's okay.
I think that's a good thing.
I think it is a good thing as well.
I like it.
Yeah.
You're up first, Jarrell.
Yeah, look, I'm just going out of the blocks because I want to remember me getting my tip, right? Because it is a magic weekend for Magic Round, and this is where I do my best work, guys. I'm not going to lie to you. If you see me in the street, give me a high five. Don't talk to me. Just wish me on my way and tap me on the ass. I'm going to go the Fox straight out of the blocks. My poet didn't even know it. Bulldogs, anytime try scorer.
Yep.
We just spoke about it before. He's hot to trot, the Fox, at Suncorp Stadium. So, yeah, we're going to stick with him. We're going to go anytime try scorer, Josh Adokar.
I like it.
Oscar, you
are. I think he's $1.85 or.
He'd be very short,
yeah, $1.85,
Nice.
Oscar, you got an anytime try scorer as well?
Yeah, I mentioned Herbie Farnworth earlier. Made a really nice return from injury last week. The Dolphins are scoring most of their points down that left edge, where Isaiah Katoa is just teasing opposition defensive lines right now. I think at $2.30, I think it was.
Yeah, $2.30, $2.35 or something.
Up against the Tigers' right edge this weekend that's missing Bateman. I think Alamolo comes in on the right wing for Charlie Stane. Anyway, there's a lot of changes on that right edge for the Tigers, and yeah, I think it's good value for Herbie this week.
I'm going the Storm to cover against Parramatta on Sunday afternoon. Nice, yeah. Already spoke about the Storm at Suncorp. Eels have lost their last four interstate games by 13 points or more. Mm. I don't have the odds in front of me because my phone won't load, but for those three legs, they will be available on the special section on the Neds app under NRL.
$82.
Probably be about $6 to $7,
Yeah, I'm going to find this one. I've only gone one this year, but I'm going to find this one.
That's good.
Had some luck last year on Magic Round, so I need to fund my enjoyment over the weekend, so hopefully this gets up and I'm not in the rears when I get home to the wife.
Boys, we're about to wrap up. On that note, what are we looking forward to this weekend?
Oh, I mean, if you're around Brisbane, like, we live here.
Give yourself a plug.
I'm going on Friday. It's already sold out, actually. Mm. I'm doing the podcast with the Hello Sport Boys and Guru. Lefties, sold out. So you can't get any tickets. But if you're around the area, we and the podcast crew will be hanging around, having some beers at the Caxon. Come and say hello. I'd love to chew your ear off about rugby league, honestly. But if I've got a beer in my mouth, don't talk to me.
Oscar, you hitting up Magic Round?
At this stage, no. I'm just kind of begging and scraping around for a last minute ticket. But otherwise, yeah, we'll go and have a few beers around Caxton Street on Friday afternoon. Just looking forward to. I'm most looking forward to the Women's Origin. It's gonna be really good to see the girls back out on the field again. So yeah, up the Sky Blues.
I will use this moment to give Foggs another shout out. He's done a great video on Purge Round.
Oh, I did.
Yes. West Arana Panthers ground. Go and check it out on the socials, YouTube, wherever you watch your videos. Very good.
We fell over the weekend too, boys, for the first time.
I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Tough road trip out to Burpengary.
Oh, tell you what, real tough out there. They have a great footy side. That have been together for a little bit and a little bit of humbling. Humble Pie, 30-14.
Oof.
Yeah, so pretty disappointed in our defence because we've only let in not as many points, but we'll be better for the run. We had a few boys missing, but it wasn't an excuse. But that thing was done at Arana as well. The field looks immaculate.
It does, pristine.
2 weeks' time, if anyone wants to come, it is Old Boys Day at Arana. It is going to be huge.
Yeah, right.
So if there's any people that love to just drink piss and watch community rugby league, that's where you want to be.
I think you'll have no problem filling that place up. Boys, we've got to name the episode. What are we thinking here?
Oh, backflipping.
Names
back
itself.
Yeah, I think it names itself. Yeah, David Fafita, the best. It's probably the best backflip that we've ever seen.
It's one of the great backflips all time.
Yeah.
It is.
The great backflip of all time. Backflipping is what it's called.
Easy done. All right, that'll do us, boys. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Check us out on the socials. We'll be back next week to recap Magic Round.
Yeah, bring your drinking hats. We'll see you at Magic Round.
Thanks for listening to Ned's NRL Unpopular Opinions. Enjoyed the podcast? Remember to like, subscribe, and rate the show wherever you get your podcasts.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.